Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Happy Monday to you. It is a Reaction Monday here on Sports Daily, and we got a lot of reaction to get to. Wild late night of Sunday night football takes us into our final game of the weekend, Monday night football, featuring the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the New Orleans Saints. We will have much, much more on that matchup throughout the program today. So stay tuned for that. You'll hear it, by the way, on your home of Kansas City Chiefs football, the Chiefs Radio Network, over on 98.7 tonight. And it collides right with a Royals Game 2 of the ALDS, which you'll hear here on the home of the Royals, KFH. That coverage begins at 6 o'clock for a 6:38 first pitch. We've got to get to reaction to a Game 1 on Saturday, though, and we will do plenty of that. Also joining the program today, Wyatt Thompson, voice of the K-State Wildcats, for his weekly visit as we get ready to, go down. And it used to be down the home stretch, right? But K-State gets another bye, but it is coming out of a bye. So we'll get to all the K-State news as they enter a juicy part of their schedule to maybe go out and keep winning some games. We'll get into that with Wyatt Thompson in our next segment. We'll give away a little HTO today. Your chance to win some free iced tea, some free coffee. That's coming a little bit later. The IHOP hotline is open. That's where we find Jad Chambers. It's brought to you by IHOP. You can celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP house faves, all your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday. And we are welcoming your commentary. I'm Jacob Albracht, by the way. Tommy Kester will be in just a few minutes. You can call that IHOP hotline if you want to leave your comments. You can also leave those comments on Facebook. You can leave those comments on YouTube. You can leave those comments on X, and of course, you can find us on 12 News Connected Plus, the app on your smart devices, your smart TV. Thanks, everybody, for joining us on a big Monday. It's a playoff baseball Monday. We'll get to Monday Night Football. Let's react a little bit here to a Game 1 of the ALDS. I don't know how the masses out there feel. I've got a little bit of mixed feelings. The loss in that game doesn't bother me. Gerrit Cole can't beat them three times in this series, but they got to Gerrit Cole. And they didn't get the win. That was an incredible baseball game to watch. The Royals couldn't finish it off. They would get leads. They couldn't get it. There are two, critical calls sort of that Royals fans are irked about. You had the no out call on the runner stealing second that, it appeared to be out, but was it conclusive? It was tough, but that was a tough call. And then of course that strike three on Bobby Witt Jr. late in the game. Sticks with you for you're a Royals fan too in that 6-5 loss. Best, you'd feel a little less concerned if it was best of seven, but it's best of five, first of three wins. But Walker was on the mound for the Royals. Cole was on the mound for the Yankees. That was a very clearly advantage Yankees kind of lineup. And now if you're the Royals, you come through and you get to throw Reagans out against Rodon. This is a game you feel like you should win if you're the Royals. And what a big spot for Cole Reagans in his quest to be this Royals ace and, never a better opportunity than right now. I wouldn't say backs are against the wall, but it feels that way in a three-game series. You certainly don't want to go down two games to nothing. But here we go. Reagans has his chance here to do something special. He did not face the Yankees this year, so this is fresh. That late season series where we saw Lugo pitch so well. Reagans didn't pitch in that particular series. And so they haven't seen him. I think that's a good thing for the Royals, certainly. Rodon has been pretty good for the Yankees, too. And he doesn't have the reputation of Gerrit Cole, but he's a good pitcher. And he did go to Kansas City and pitch very well against the Royals back in June. He went seven innings, allowed only a run. And then he played them and pitched well against them at Yankee Stadium, gave up two runs over six. So he has two starts against the Royals this year. He's been pretty good in both. They'll need to be better against him. I think they can be. I think that if you're looking to the positives of that game one, yeah, you got to pull. The offense looked much better, I thought, in that game than they had in a while. They looked productive. They were aggressive. You had production. Massey at the top continues to be good. They put together five runs, and none of those RBI came in the top five hitters of the lineup. Right? Do you feel good about that? I actually do. Would you like to see the top of the lineup, you know, especially Whit, Pasquantino, Perez, be more productive? Of course you would. Yuli Gurriel was incredible in the game. Those three big bats, yeah, they got to start doing something, but I feel good that these other guys in the lineup, including Michael Massey at the top of the lineup, nice button push there from Quatraro. He's been really good there, and I do think those three will start hitting. This feels to me like a long series. If that first game was any indication, it was incredible back and forth. And so here we go. Game two tonight. I hate the day off. I text Tommy this last night. I hate the day off in baseball when it's not a travel day. But it makes this show more fun today because we got to stall, right? And you get this Royals-Chiefs collision tonight as the Chiefs will take on the Saints in Monday Night Football. So some quick reaction there to the Royals, and we will get much, much more into the Royals as we make our way through the program today, of course.
Hey, Jacob.
Game. Yes, Chad.
One thing real quick about I caught John Boy Media's breakdown of the no out call.
Man, it was a weird play.
What did they
say on it? I didn't see theirs.
Well, you've seen his breakdowns before. He does a pretty good job generally.
Yeah.
And to Royals fans' credit, he says he probably would have overturned it. Now, on the other end of that, of course, I was watching the video, so I saw the same thing that all the things he was pointing out. Man, it's easy to say why they said it was inconclusive, because that was difficult.
It really was. But it could have been called.
Yeah.
And that's what sticks for Royals fans. It's a rare play where it's like, yeah, I kind of get it both ways. Right. And that makes that hard, and that's not definitive. And I understand that, but
and it was huge. I mean, as far as when it happened,
you know, yeah, if they call him, of course it's go ahead, run. If they call him out, I think they would have left it that way too. Right. It's one of those, like, you have to be able to say without the shadow of a doubt that he was out or safe. And I just don't think you could do that. So the call stands. It would have been the same, I think, had he been called out. I don't think they would have reversed it either. And I know that sucks to hear for fans, especially if it goes against you. But it is what it is, right? Like, there's not a whole lot you can do about that in that situation. What you hope is that the bullpen is a little more effective, because what had been, you know, lights out lockdown bullpen gave up two runs in this game. And the Royals just aren't used to seeing that, right? Actually gave up three runs, sorry, in this game. And they're not used to seeing that. I thought something else interesting that came out of this was Michael Lorenzen. Lorenzen is, I thought they would use him as a starter in this series. They brought him in this game. And I guess that means we're going to get Singer unless somebody goes on short rest. So nobody's been announced after tonight on either side. None of the starters, because they don't have to be. We assume and that Lugo will go in that game three. But then they play quickly on Thursday. Nobody will have had enough rest. Sunday, Monday, Saturday, let's see, on Waka. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It'd be the fifth day for Waka. So if they want to just roll Waka out there, I suppose that they can. We'll see if they do that or if they go to Singer. That'll be a curious decision. But it'll be Lugo in game three, even though they haven't announced that yet. And that's what you want. Look, the Royals, we have liked the Royals' chances in the postseason because you feel like Waka and Lugo can go win you two games each in long series. That's why we like them. That's why we kept saying all season long, boy, if they can just get there, it lines up really well. And I still like, you know, Waka and some of the other starters to battle their way through if they need to. But the whole point of this is you like it when Reagans and Lugo can go twice, which they will both be able to do in this series. You only need three wins, right? Three wins. You got to get those two. That's it. That's your ticket right there. Those two guys.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Game two tonight. I don't know about you, Jed. It does not feel desperate at all to me. That feels like it sucks that they in a game where they got to Cole that they didn't get the win. But I don't feel today at all like the sky is falling, must win. I think they're fine. And if they go down 0-2, I don't think this series is over by any means. Certainly don't want that to happen. But the reality is you're supposed to win your games at home. If they can split New York, then it's a win.
Yesterday was always going to be the toughest, obviously. So yeah. And now tonight, it'd be a lot better if they got to win tonight. Yeah.
Yeah, well, sure it would. Yeah, you don't want to go down 0-2, and I don't have all the numbers in front of me and know how many times a team has been able to win a five-game series down 2-0 or down 0-2. But I suppose in that sense you can look at it that way, but I mean from a sense of like playing desperately or anything like it doesn't feel that way to me. It feels like, yeah, they probably should have won game one and they didn't get it done. Come right back into game two, pitch a little better, and you'll be good to go. That's what it feels like to me. And we'll see. I think that they will win the game tonight.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
And they are plus money. So if you feel that way, they are plus money on the money line at plus 130. So if you feel like I do, there's your opportunity. Just take them on the money line. I love playoff baseball so much. It's been so good. And we'll get our game too. We'll get Royals tonight. You'll hear it right here on KFH. We're going to have a shorter segment here. We're going to take a break. When we come back, voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, will hop on with us for his weekly visit. So we'll have that for you. Tommy will be in just a bit. We'll look ahead to Monday Night Football with the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll also react to the rest of what we saw on a Sunday in the NFL. And oh yeah, KU lost again. We probably need to get to that as well. It's a Sports Daily. It's jam-packed here on a Monday edition. As we go, I want to tell you about Pepin Suter Remodeling. Pepin is a supporter of the program now, and we're glad about that because he did a remodel for us this summer, and it was fantastic. I say this all the time. There are a lot of options out there as you make your way through. There are two things that stood out. First thing is his Pepin Suter Remodeling's bid was far, far lower than the other bids we took. So that was the first thing. Second thing, they took great. Actually, let me say there's three things. Second thing is they took great care of our family. They made us have a usable kitchen during a kitchen remodel. And if you've ever been through that, you know that that's a pretty big deal. We did not lose the access to our refrigerator or our counters or our cabinets or anything else. They made that really good, cleaned that mess up and made us and allowed us to be able to use that the entire time they worked. And then the third and most important thing, the work was really, 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 really well done. So give Pepin Suter Remodeling a call. You can go to their website, just search Pepin Suter, or you can give them a call, 316-573-6822. That's 316-573-6822. If you've got any sort of home renovation, give them a call, take their bid at least, and you'll see why we appreciate them and their support of this program. When we come back, Wyatt Thompson, voice of the K-State Wildcats, joins us. The bye week is over, and we plow ahead. For the Cats who have eyes on a Big 12 championship, we'll have that for you next.
...97.5 and 1240 KFH. It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Your new radio home for K-State Athletics, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. It's that time, Sports Daily, getting all the inside information on Kansas State. Let's go now to the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster is back in. Chad Chambers producing and joining us right now on our video stream and over the air here, Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the K-State Wildcats after K-State comes off of a bye week. With that considered, Wyatt, I want to Royals going to win game two tonight? We'll take a little side shift here.
To be honest, I hope they do. I felt like they should have probably won game one. I didn't like the call at all. I don't understand the ruling. I've been a little bit of a critic of the replay because of that kind of stuff. That was a hard game to lose. So I'm hoping with the starters the next couple of games they can get the ship righted a little bit and get the series back in their favor, honestly.
They're going to win tonight. They're going to win tonight.
I think so, too.
All right, so let's look at some football. You know, I think the biggest thing for K-State in the bye week, at least from our perspective, is watching what Colorado did there at UCF the last time they're out and wondering if Colorado is this for real team. So now we've had a week to stew on it. We've seen Colorado, I think, be this is the version of Colorado we feared or we thought was at least they look like they're more toward, I guess, the upside than the downside. And now we've had a week to think about it.
I would agree with the more upside than downside, just based on the way they've played, at least to this point. I think what we're describing here is they probably took a step forward with that win at UCF in the way they did it. I think we all understand how good they are with those unbelievably talented guys like a Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, right? But the fact that they ran the ball at UCF, but not only that, but they contained their run game with R.J. Harvey, I think that got everybody's attention. I think they're playing with more confidence. I think they're playing harder. They do have really good talent. And what concerns you, I think, is you're getting them in and off the bye week and in a confident way. And then that place will be jumping Saturday night. So there's certainly reasons for concern, no doubt about it.
You know, I when I think about Colorado, Wyatt, and I don't mean this as a knock on what Coach Prime has done and that entire program, but there's always a lot of noise. There's always a lot of external noise when it comes to the Colorado program. When, you know, the team is, when K-State is preparing for this game this weekend, and of course coming off of a bye week, what do you think the message is to try to tune all of that out and just know you've got to go in to a hostile environment, you've got to do your job?
Well, I think this is always a process. In all the years I've done this, I think teams, you know, either continue to get better and overcome obstacles, or frankly, they don't. That's why I was so excited to see them bounce back from the game in Provo the way they did against Oklahoma State. Now, I think in the last couple of weeks, K-State and West Virginia have probably proven that OSU isn't maybe necessarily what we thought they might be, but it's up and down too, right? I mean, Utah losing at home after beating OSU, that didn't make a lot of sense. Did we think Texas Tech was going to go and beat Arizona in Tucson the other night? I didn't necessarily think that. So I guess what I'm saying is I think all of that noise is exactly that. You can't let that bother you, to be honest. It's all about the preparation for the week, or in this case, a couple of 2 or 3 days extra than that, and then going in and taking care of business and executing at a high level. I think K-State is good enough to do that. But let's see. The last road game didn't work out very well, and you hope this one will.
So you get the extra time. I can't, and I know we've now gone three questions talking about Colorado and not K-State, yeah, but I want to do one more. And I feel like K-State has invited teams to throw on them and sold out to stop the run. Are you able to do that against a team like Colorado, who has such gifted pass catchers and, you know, and one of the best quarterbacks in the country?
Well, to me, that's as good a question as I've been asked since we started talking about K-State Colorado in the middle of last week, to be honest about it. I think it's, you know, when you look at the strength of their team, it is Shedeur Sanders. It is those receivers led by Travis Hunter. But all of those guys, whether it's Horn, Shepherd, whoever it might be, LaJonte Webster, they're all really talented guys. The question is going to be, can K-State get into their offense in terms of slowing the run game down and making them one-dimensional? And if they can do that, I'm going to take it. You know, yeah, you may be playing into their strengths a little bit, but if you can do that and also get some pressure on him, even if you don't get him to the ground a ton, make him move, get him going a little bit, then now I think you have a better chance. And then the obvious part is he's number two is not going to hurt you if he's standing on the sideline for, you know, a good 25, 26, yeah, 27 minutes of the game. Yeah. Let's hope they can do that. I don't know that they will or won't, but to me, that's going to be the deal. K-State has given up some pass yards, 244 yards a game, but they've given up very little on the ground. I think, in my mind, they're 4-1 in large part because of that.
defensively for Colorado, Wyatt, it's interesting because you don't look at the Buffaloes as really this elite level defense, but
right.
what they do really well is they limit what opposing offenses can do in the second half. They've made great adjustments at halftime this entire season. In fact, there's not a single team that they've played this year that scored more than 7 points in the second half against them. So really making those adjustments at halftime in the locker room, that's been major for Coach Prime, for his defensive coordinator, for that entire defense. So for the Wildcats offensively, as they come out, obviously getting out to a good start early is going to be important. But then how do you think that, you know, what changes or adjustments do you think offensively Kansas State will need to make going into the second half of the game?
That's almost an impossible question to answer because you don't really know how the first is going to go. If you go out there and you establish DJ Giddens and whatever in the run game, and then Avery can get the pass game going a little bit, I think you're in good shape. I don't know that it'll necessarily be that easy. But I think what we're describing is a coordinator and Coach Livingston who has done a really good job, and that's a big topic out there right now. They do have talent, and some of those guys are really starting to kind of make their way, right? I mean, you can see it in all three levels of their defense. Sure, that you've got the shining star in the back end with Hunter and probably, you know, Cameron Silman Craig's also a terrific talent back there. You gotta respect that. One thing too that really sticks out, guys, remember when we talked from the Provo weekend to the Oklahoma State weekend, you got to win in the red zone. I didn't really realize this until I started crunching numbers, you know, a few days ago. Colorado, with their defense in the red zone, is first in the league and seventh in the country in red zone defense.
Yikes.
You better be scoring touchdowns.
Yeah. Avery unlocking his legs hopefully helps there. I think Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Wildcats, joining us. So obviously last time the late night window did not help K-State at all. This time though, they have a bye week going into it. Don't you think that makes it easier to adjust to?
Yeah, I do. But it's probably an advantage for both. When I look back and I've watched the CU-UCF game a couple of different times, even the announcers were talking about, we're seeing things that neither one of these two teams have done. It's going to be more so going into this after a bye, right? Excuse me, from my perspective anyway.
Yeah.
I think that's what coaches do. Give them a little bit of a wrinkle. So many times over the years, I've seen K-State, after a bye, drive right down the field and score, you know, maybe an 8, 10, 12, 14 play drive, and they are going to look a little different than they have maybe for the first handful of games. I think CU is also capable of that if they're able to run the ball, right? I think the key is really, can they run the ball? Because they become way more dangerous in my mind if they have even a little bit of offensive power in the run game. I mean, you know, it wasn't like they ran for 300 yards at UCF, but it was a monumental thing for them to get almost 130 there, right?
Yeah.
And especially when you can pitch it around like he does. I mean, you don't have to look very far. The guy's second in the conference, 27th nationally in pass efficiency. He's second and ninth in Big 12 national in total touchdown passes. He can throw the ball.
Yeah.
And that's been an issue with K-State. But I still say the game's won at the line of scrimmage and in the run game.
From a usage,
I'm wrong, and I'll admit it, but I think that's where the game goes.
From a usage perspective, Wyatt, offensively for the Wildcats, we've seen Dylan Edwards and DJ Giddens, kind of that distribution of touches. And then, of course, you add in the wrinkle of Avery Johnson with his legs. Do you think that Coach Kleiman, that, you know, offensive group, they're comfortable at this point in the season with the way that those touches are distributed? Because we've seen DJ Giddens and Dylan Edwards be extremely effective in doing different things. Are we at a point in the season where you think that, like, they're good with the way that things are playing out?
I think for the most part, Tommy, that's probably right. I think there are and have been times where the answer would probably be, man, we've got to get Dylan a few more, right? And what do we mean by a few more? It might be three or four or five. It might be two or three. He's such a unique talent. And like I think you said it perfectly. because he can do things that probably most people don't necessarily see. I mean, he ran pretty efficiently on the inside against Colorado, against Oklahoma State, rather, as an example. But DJ's also very efficient in about everything he does. I just think both of those guys are really good players, and they both need touches. And then with Avery, if you don't necessarily need him as much in the quarterback run game if those two guys are having a boatload of success. But that's probably easier said than done, and you're probably going to have to use him some in that. And why wouldn't you? Because of his skill set there. He is going to create major headaches for them if that is the case. At least that's the way I see it.
It's funny, Wyatt, as we look ahead on this schedule, not to look past Colorado mm-hmm. by any means, but just taking a look at the Big 12 as the week was off.
We
all thought some of the, you know, the relief in the schedule might come with Colorado and West Virginia and Arizona State. And now here we go. And those are teams in the top half of the Big 12. Colorado and Iowa State haven't lost a Big 12 game. K-State's a difficult schedule. We thought it was relief. I don't know if it's relief. I don't know that I believe in West Virginia. But it doesn't look like it's there. There is going to be much because, of course, you know, Kansas isn't relief at any point in a rivalry game like that. Week to week, man, I hope they can buy into the cliche because this is what it looks like it's going to be.
Well, the one thing that I feel good about is that I can promise you that's what Chris Klieman is telling those guys. You know, next week really doesn't matter if we mess this week up. Right. And I appreciate that because I think that's his approach always. I think they really try hard to block out the outside noise, as they call it, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And as you know, it varies from week to week. I think they just want to kind of keep grinding along and doing what they do and getting better at it. I think where the off week is probably going to help some is for some of those veteran guys who've been dinged up a little bit, probably feel a little bit better after a couple of two or three days where they don't have as much reps and actually had a couple of two full days off. That will make a difference. It'll help them too. There's no doubt about that. But I felt like that kind of came at a good time. And, you know, you're back to your thought, though, about the league. I mean, it's just been, you know, a little bit all over the map, hasn't it? And I think it kind of shows you what the league is. I mean, did we really think BYU was going to be 5-0? Did we really think Texas Tech was going to be 5-1 at this point?
Or Oklahoma State would be 0-3 to start Big 12 play?
100%. I mean, they were picked second and third in the league in most of the polls that we all looked at, right?
And for much of the year, they looked like they were that team, right? Until so I would ask you this then. As we wrap up here, do you think there is any more wiggle room? Do you think two losses will be able to get into a Big 12 championship game? I'm not sure. When you factor in tiebreakers, it almost feels like there's no more margin for error the rest of the regular season for K-State.
Yeah, I think you could argue that all day long either way. I mean that sincerely. I'm not trying to evade the question. I think it's part of me would immediately want to say, yep, you better not lose more than one, right? But I just wonder, you know, with the way the schedule plays out, I need to study a little bit on Iowa State's schedule as an example. I mean, they're off to a really good start, and I think people are starting to figure out they're pretty darn good, right? Yeah. They're pretty good.
Yeah.
How many times will they slip up? You know, Iowa State at West Virginia this week. How big is that game all of a sudden? Because West Virginia's 3-2, and that's what a lot of people look at. But in the league, they're 2-0. Those losses were at Pitt, who's pretty good, and Penn State at home. So maybe they're better than we think too. But we've seen some ups and downs from all of the teams that we thought were going to be really good: Utah, Oklahoma State, K-State. Maybe not Iowa State, but those other three, I think that'd be a fair statement, wouldn't it?
Well, and the reason I ask it is because if K-State was to lose two, then you'd need BYU to lose three, right? Because they can't lose two. So that's one team. And if who is the second loss to, pick any team, then that team, because of who's left, would also likely have to lose three. That's where, to me, it gets real dicey. And it goes that way for the other teams in there too, right? I mean, I guess, you know, it doesn't really matter who wins between West Virginia and Iowa State because K-State get to play both of them. But it's going to, I don't know. At one point, I thought two would be okay, and I'm not sure I feel that way now because the bottom end of the league is better than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I think that's probably a really great point because those are some of the things that are happening. Like, I'm going to be repetitive here, but I really thought Arizona would beat Tech at home Saturday night, but they didn't, you know. Now, this is at the other end of the spectrum, and I get it, but did you think Houston would beat TCU?
No. Well, no. Not that I think either of those teams will be there in the end, because
they won't.
But Tech might be now, and you don't get to play Tech, right? Like, I don't think they can lose another game. I mean, they may get lucky. They may get lucky, but I think absolutely they have to have that attitude. Like, they do not get the opportunity to have another BYU, and that is a lot to put on the shoulders of Avery Johnson. You can't play that way again. You can't.
Right. The other variable there that I think has to be spoken about here is the Cam Rising thing. I mean, when's he going to play again?
Yeah.
Right? And if it's soon, are you thinking they will lose again? Right? I've said this all along, guys, and you know this. You've heard me say it. I really liked their schedule layout in the conference as well as most. And I said that, too, about Kansas. Now, we've seen the difference there. KU's lost some really hard games, right? And virtually all of them late. But Utah's done a pretty good job of slipping just one time. And maybe they will, maybe they won't if he comes back and stays healthy. But that appears to be a pretty big maybe right now.
It's going to be a blast. And that means they need to win in Colorado and another late night, stay up late with it Saturday night. What do you guys have fun on the broadcast this week?
Well, still kind of planning a little bit of that, but I think we've got an offensive lineman on our football team I'm going to try to talk to this week for pregame, Carver Willis, who's from Durango, Colorado. And I thought that'd be kind of a nice angle and visit with him. I'm telling you, fellas, he's played hurt most of the year. He's a tough guy. He's bided his time and has done a pretty good job being a starter over the last year and a half-ish. So probably talk to him and probably one other player, and then we'll get those coordinators. And I'm anxious to talk to Coach Klieman, not only to hear what he says today, but later in the week as we hone in on this one, because, like you say, 9:15 Central out there, this is a monster football game in mid-October. I mean, it's just what it is.
It's everything you want. We know you people betcha. Will be locked in because you've got the two quarterbacks nationally. Everyone's going to be paying attention to that. All right, Wyatt, safe travels this week. Good luck with it. We're looking forward to the call on Saturday night.
Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure to be on with you.
There goes the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson. I am so excited for that football game. I mean, if I'm being honest, it's the most excited I've been for any college football game this year, I think. Even, you know, I know Bama played Georgia and all that, but for it's mostly because of the two quarterbacks and the spotlight and all that stuff. I cannot wait for that game, and I'm so glad Colorado's good and we get this kind of hype going into it.
Well, I'm really interested to see how good they actually are, and I think that this game will be able to tell us a lot about Colorado. I mean, keep in mind, you know, the teams that they beat so far in the Big 12 are not incredible teams.
Yeah.
We're talking about Baylor. They needed overtime to beat Baylor. We're talking UCF. UCF isn't great. You know, they lost to Nebraska in a non-conference game earlier this year. So I think this is going to be a really strong litmus test to really see how for real Colorado is.
I think they're probably exactly what we thought they were, a really, really, really high ceiling and a pretty low floor. Austin has one question on it. Dylan Edwards, anytime touchdown Saturday. I'll have to see the juice, Austin. He doesn't get a lot of touches, so it's a little dicey. But if the juice is there, then I could be with you on that. A little revenge touchdown there for Dylan Edwards. I don't know how much Klieman is inclined to play up to the revenge, but, you know, it's always a little bit of fun. The other one I'm looking at with just real, you know, as we just begin to look at it, over-under on that game is 56.5, Tommy. I know the K-State defense has been much better. I'm hammering that over. Prime to late time, I'm hammering that over. They both defenses could play well, and we could get some points up there just because of the game-breaking ability of so many different people. You could have good defensive performances, but like six big plays, like you're stopping, and then boom, all of a sudden Hunter's gone, or Edwards is gone, or Avery's gone, or should, like, it's I'm hammering that over.
Yeah, there are a ton of stars in this game on Saturday. Yep. That's what, you know, makes it fun. Everybody from Shador and Travis Hunter to like the revenge factor with Dylan Edwards. DJ Goodens has kind of gone up to that big stage. Avery Johnson, of course, like it's going to be a lot of fun to see those really top tier talent face off.
Put it right into my veins. KU fans, we'll talk to Jayhawks a little bit later in the show. Tommy's back with us here. We got to get ready for Chiefs Monday Night Football. We've got some thoughts from Mitch Holthus on the game tonight. All those injuries. We'll get to that next, begin to preview that. And of course, we'll talk more Royals in just a little bit as well. It is Sports Daily. It is Albrocht and Caster. We are glad to be here with you. By the way, Royals in the Major League Baseball playoffs. You can catch it for free right here on KFH and on the Odyssey app. Tune in tonight at 6. Coverage begins. Royals looking to even that series in New York. You can simply download the Odyssey app and search for KFH at game time as well. We'll be right back. More Sports Daily coming your way.
KFH. The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We are glad to be here with you. It's Jacob Albrocht, Tommy Caster. Jad Chambers is with us. Man in the hotline for you, the IHOP hotline at 869-1240. You can also leave us your voice messages via the Odyssey app. It's a great place. There's a little microphone on there. It's super easy. Austin did the research for me. Plus 140 on that Dylan Edwards anytime touchdown. I would endorse it as a fun, emotionally fulfilling bet, Austin. It's probably not one I would make myself, just because until we see Dylan Edwards get more touches, it's hard for me to take any time touchdowns when he's only touching the ball, you know, 8 or 9 times a game. So we'll see. But on an emotional perspective, heck yeah, that'd be a fun bet to take. All right, let's talk Chiefs. Let's start with this. Jad has some audio. Mitch Holthus, all the injuries will be on full display. We know Rashee Rice isn't playing in this game. It won't be for a while. We may find out today just how long that is, but it's not going to be for a while. So there's a lot of injuries. Chiefs have got to react. Here's what the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, had to say.
Because you're looking at now no Hollywood Brown, Isaiah Pacheco, Rashee Rice. So in essence, if you extrapolate it out, you're trying to replace 2,800 yards and 15 touchdowns. And sometimes you can just take on, you know, the hailstorm is so much, you've got to replace the roof. We're back at 2022 now of trying to invent every possible way, all hands on deck, to try to figure out how to replace those yards and touchdowns. That means everybody you can think of is going to have to be involved. Don't pick any of them on your fantasy team, but take all of them on your reality team. This is testing Andy Reid's ingenuity and his ability, his strongest attribute, and that is to handle flashpoints. He's done it every year. I talk about it publicly. I talked about it at the Wichita Rotary that day. Yeah. You guys were there. And if people don't think about it, but he's amazing at troubleshooting and handling flashpoints, and he's got one now.
There's Mitch Holthus. One injury note that we probably have had a little bit more clarity on since Mitch provided that to the Stephen Ted Show over on KNSS is that Kareem Hunt appears to be fine. At least that's what he's saying. That's a big deal. And I love that. Don't take any of them on your fantasy team, but all of them on your reality team. The one difference I would say is Travis Kelce is going to be a big part of the game plan now, I think. And I think they're going to have to force it to him. And Kareem Hunt could help a great deal. I don't know that Kareem Hunt's going to just get all the carries, and I'm not sure that I think that's the best idea either. I do think you can still mix in the other two, but I think Hunt will get the majority of it, and hopefully he can provide them a little bit of a spark back there. Whereas the other, you know, Carson Steele's kind of a safe play. I think I would describe it as, where Hunt looked to me like in the last game we saw him has a little more explosion. I actually like the Chiefs quite a bit tonight, Tommy. I think the Saints are a little fraudulent myself. I have thought that. You've been higher on them than I have, and I respect what Derek Carr does. I think he catches a bad rap. His his reputation to me reminds me of what Alex Smith used to go through. Like, Carr is not as bad as his haters say he is. So I'm happy that they've been good. Obviously, Alvin Kamara spent time at Hutch and all those things. But I think they're a little bit fraudulent. And I actually like the Chiefs quite a bit tonight.
You know, I've been higher on the Saints, as you mentioned, but I still pick the Chiefs to cover tonight. I think this is the game that, you know, they can, you know, sort of break through a little bit. And, you know, I know that there's not a ton of clarity yet on Rashee Rice and what, you know, the long-term implications of his injury are right now. But I do think, and you mentioned Kareem Hunt, I think Kareem Hunt is in line to have a really big game tonight. I do think that he's the lead back. I think that he's going to dominate the touches. You know, and especially with Carson Steele, you know, he's got, he's got that ability, but he's putting the ball on the turf. He's putting the ball on the turf. And, you know,
Andy Reid isn't going to give him the ball for a while.
It's not going to happen. And, you know, I do think that Travis Kelce, to your point, they're going to try to force it to him. But defenses know that too. I mean, defenses are going to know, hey, Rashee Rice is not there. They don't have Hollywood Brown. They don't have Isaiah Pacheco. Xavier Worthy is a rookie. And then there's kind of a hodgepodge of wide receivers after that. Like, defenses now can really key in on Travis Kelce, probably more so than what they had been able to do. So I think for that, in that matter, in that regard, I do think we're going to see a higher reliance on that running game led by Kareem Hunt.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and I don't think it matters. They could have, I don't care who it is back there, they could bring Anthony Sherman back and it would be a reliance on the run game. Let's get more into it. Let's tell you what we think will happen tonight, stylistically, how it will play out, all of those things when we return. It's Sports Daily. It's Bob Rock and Castor. We'll get a little HTO away in the second hour. So stay tuned for your opportunity to win that. I want to say thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up each and every morning here at KFH. We'll come back. Hour number two of Sports Daily is next.